I have always emphasized throughout my career the importance of stories, and today is not going to be any different. Consequently, I want to start with a story. A friend of a friend of ours is a frequent business traveler. Let's call him Dave. Dave was recently in Atlantic City for an important meeting with clients. After a long day of negotiations, meetings, conversations, he was tired and he had a little bit of time before his flight, so he went to a local bar for a drink. He'd just finished one drink when an attractive woman approached and asked if she could buy him another. He was surprised and quite flattered. "Sure," he said. The woman walked to the bar and brought back two more drinks, one for her and one for him. He thanked her, took a sip, and that's the last thing he remembers. At least, that's the last thing he remembered, until he woke up, disoriented, lying in a hotel bathtub, his body submerged in ice. He looked around frantically, trying to figure out where he was and how he got there. Then he spotted the note, "Don't move, call 911. A cell phone rested on a small table beside the bathtub. He picked it up and dialed 911. His fingers numb and clumsy from the ice and cold and wooziness. The operator seemed oddly familiar with his situation. She said, "Sir, I want you to reach behind you slowly and carefully. Is there a tube protruding from your lower back?" Anxious, he felt around behind him, and sure enough, there was a tube. The operator said, "Sir, don't panic, but one of your kidneys has been harvested. There's a ring of organ thieves operating in the city, and they got to you. Paramedics are on their way. Don't move until they arrive." Now, how many of you, please raise your hand, how many of you have heard this story or some variation of it? Quite a few. I don't have a count, but it certainly is a lot. It's gone around and around. Actually, it's fewer than I expect. It's gone around and around the internet. Sometimes it's a morality tale, warning people against the hazards of taking drinks from strangers, or going into bars, talking to strangers, whatever. But it is, it's definitely something that's gone around, and indeed, it is the story that opens the book Made to Stick. In all its flavors, it's a kidney heist. There is a drug-filled drink, an ice-filled bathtub, and a missing kidney. Now, Chip Heath and Dan Heath, brothers, who are the authors of Made to Stick, upon which I'm basing this webinar, Made to Stick, Why Some Ideas Survive and Others Die, have researched how to make ideas stick, how to make them understandable, how to make them memorable and effective, by studying stories that have gone around and around the internet, have withstood the test of time, parables, fables, biblical stories. And today we are going to, or even advertising jingles and effective and political communications. Today we are going to explore and apply the concepts that they elucidate in their book to, we're going to apply them to application essays, personal statements, and statements of purpose. I want to just take a second to add to Miriam's introduction. I am the president of Accepted.com and founder, and it's in that capacity that I'm providing this presentation. Since founding Accepted.com in 1994, I have read thousands of applications and personal statements. Most were forgettable, instantly forgettable. Some were not worth reading, but some also, a few, have stuck. And after I read Made to Stick, I realized that many of the ideas that they discussed, the principles they discussed, were also the principles that made those essays memorable so that I can still talk about them today. Now, I also want to suggest to you, we are going to occasionally, a couple times in the course of the presentation, have a little bit of a contest, and it will be based on how well you listen to what I'm saying here. So even if you don't find it interesting, listen anyways, and you may just win a prize, which would be a free ebook from Accepted. Now, the Heaths have boiled down the techniques that work to the mnemonic success, which stands for simplicity, unexpected, concreteness, credibility, emotions, and stories. We're going to go through those six principles in a little bit more detail. To summarize, what they say works is, quote, a simple, unexpected, concrete, credible, emotional story. Let's explore these concepts one by one and apply them to your essays. Now, I want to issue a caveat before we start going through them. Not every essay has to have every one of these techniques in it. I would suggest, however, that if you're after you draft your essay for the first time, you should check and see that you have at least four in each essay that you submit. Doing so will make them much more memorable and your application much more effective. Obviously, I'm not talking about short answer questions. I'm talking about essays. Simple. That should be the easiest one to deal with, right? Simplicity. Couldn't be easier than that, but it is deceptively difficult. What is the most obvious idea you want your essays to convey? That idea is your core idea. That is the idea that has to suffuse your work. When you're writing your essay, you want to strip out anything that is non-essential, and you want to make sure that every word, every sentence, every paragraph supports your core idea. Think how effective it has been for, let's say, Volvo to focus so much on safety so that, you know, you think, what is a safe car? Volvo comes to mind. Toyota, until recent events, of course, was known for engineering and reliability. I think now it's probably known for recalls. But until the whole sticky brake pedal, its messaging was extremely effective, and of course the reality supported that their cars were reliable. Southwest Airlines, the low-cost airline, everything about Southwest Airlines, both in terms of what they do and what they say, focus on the fact that they keep costs down. In politics, obviously you had the Obama campaign's very effective focus on hope and change in the last election. The results speak for themselves. In 1992, when Clinton ran for office, he was famous for being a policy wonk who liked to discuss arcane details. His handlers and campaign strategists said, no, you should not discuss those details. You have to keep the focus on the economy. It's the economy, stupid, was the motto for the campaign. So your core idea has to be the guiding light for your essay writing. It also has to be simple. It has to be your core, and it has to be compact. How do you keep it compact? Well, one is just to keep it very simple and very short. The other idea, in terms of how do you convey a lot with that central idea, is you use the power of metaphor and already familiar ideas and images. Again, if you think back to the kidney heist, call 911 has a lot of power. When he saw that sign, he knew it was a life and death situation. Indeed, one of the sample essays in the medical area on accepted.com starts with the words, call 911. You don't have to say it was an emergency. You don't have to go into a lot of description. Call 911 has an enormous amount of impact because of all the associations that go along with it. So that's the first principle. The next principle in the Heath's success mnemonic is unexpected. By that, we mean break a pattern. If the question is general or asks you to tell us about yourself, don't start with the expected. Don't start with, I was born in, my parents came from, I want to be a doctor, lawyer, Indian chief because. That's what your reader has read umpteen times before. I mean, I can't tell you how many personal statements, application essays, start with these phrases. Do the unexpected. Best way to do the unexpected is to start in the middle of the action. Again, the example I cited before, call 911, started the essay where the applicant was going to talk about his, he was already a certified EMT, and he chanced upon an accident victim, a very seriously injured accident victim, and his first response was call 911. Or there's an MBA applicant essay on the site where the MBA applicant is rushing around Asian from one Asian airport to another because his goal was ultimately to do business in I think mergers and acquisition in Asia. Another example, a law school applicant started her essay with the sweat trickled down my nose. That's a very unexpected opening for a law school essay. So start in a way that's a surprise, because surprise gets attention. go against the expected, the anticipated, but do so in a non-gimmicky way. And by non-gimmicky, I mean it has to connect to your core, to that simple idea that's going to be suffusing your essay and guiding you as you write. So your opening should reflect or anticipate your core. Again, the medical student who started his essay with Call 911, he explores in his essay both his own coolness under pressure, which can be a very good quality for a doctor, his ability to respond even though that first patient, that accident victim tragically died as he was doing CPR, and how it deepened his interest in medicine. It didn't turn him off to the field. And then he goes forward and discusses what he intends to be doing. As you're writing and trying to think of what's unexpected and what's expected, I want you to think of the following story that I read in Made to Sick. Nora Ephron is a screenwriter, and she's made some very well-known movies. And she remembers fondly the journalism class that she took many years ago at Beverly Hills High. In this class, the first assignment was for the students to write the lead for their high school newspaper with the following facts. The facts were, Kenneth L. Peters, the principal of Beverly Hills High School, announced today that the entire high school faculty will travel to Sacramento next Thursday for a colloquium in new teaching methods. Among the speakers will be anthropologist Margaret Mead, college president Dr. Robert Maynard Hutchins, and California government Edmund Pat Brown. Now, the students then sat at their typewriter and they wrote their leads. If you were writing a lead for that story for your student newspaper, what would you write? The correct answer will get their choice of an exhibit.com ebook. And you can post your answers in the question area. Again, the first person to get it right will get an Exhibit.com ebook. Phil, you pretty much got it. No school next week. It's actually no school next Thursday, but that's correct. So Phil, Son, Miriam, if you could make a note of it, he gets his choice of an Exhibit.com ebook. The question was that if you have a given set of facts, what should the lead be for the high school article? And Phil, Son got it. It's no school next week. Now, why is that relevant? One, you want to know. You have to know what your audience would be interested in when you're writing. So you have to know your audience, and we're going to deal with that a little bit more in a minute. And then the other fact is, hold on a second, I'm having a little trouble with my slides. Okay, back to where we want to be. The other fact is that you want to start. Yeah. The audience, most of the students in the class were focusing on the facts in the case. They weren't thinking about what would interest their audience. The interest of their audience, as Phil correctly noted, is that they would want to, they'd have no school on Thursday. They could go to the beach. Another way to deal with the unexpected or to inject the unexpected is to create a knowledge gap. Ask a question and only answer it at the end of your essay. Or start with your vision first. That can be a tremendous motivator. One example given in Made to Stick is Kennedy in 1960 electrified the country with his vision of a man on the moon by the end of the decade. How would that apply to you? Are you a budding entrepreneur? What kind of company do you envision? Are you an aspiring pediatrician? How do you see yourself interacting with your patients, both the children and the parents? Are you jazzed by judicial challenges? How do you see yourself addressing them? Then discuss how you get there. That any of those openings could be an effective and unexpected opening to a personal statement or application essay. Now, the next principle is concrete. Language is often abstract, and language is, of course, what you use to write your essays. But life is not abstract. That's, again, a quote from Made to Stick. Life has specifics. Think about the ice cubes in that bathtub in the kidney heist. Their effect. Now, these specifics frequently involve the senses. In your experiences, what has caught your eye? What did you hear, see, smell, or touch? What do you remember? Good examples make essays concrete, and they add so much to them. I can't tell you the most common edit I and the .com staff make is to request an example or to clarify or support an extraction. You have to bring examples to make your essays concrete. Bring the reader into your world, into your experience, by bringing in a few telling details. An attractive woman, an ice cube-filled bathtub, a tube protruding. These are very, very vivid. Another technique for making your essays more concrete is to write for one individual. Think about admissions committee members. If you don't know any, read a few admissions committee blogs. Create a Joe or Jane adcom for you with specific characteristics, and a sense of what he or she specifically values, and then address that individual in your essay. Credible, which is closely related to concrete. In the Heath's book, credibility is frequently a function of trusted expert or celebrity input, but it doesn't have to be. It can be statistical. 85.6% of the population will believe a statement backed by statistics. I heard that statement from a distant relative at a family dinner, and he said it with a big twinkle in his eye. But there's no doubt that use of statistics to support can be very effective in supporting your point and indicating relationships. For example, the quote that my twinkling distant relative said established a relationship between use of statistics and credibility. Now, let me give you another example. You could say that as president of your club or group or service organization, whatever it was, you increased membership a lot. Or you could say that you increased membership by 50%, the largest annual increase in 5 years. The use of 50% and in 5 years adds enormously both to the credibility of the statement and to the weight of what you're saying. Another way to make your essays more credible is to draw from personal experience, both in discussing why you're doing what you're doing, but more importantly, I think, in terms of discussing school choice when you're asked to discuss it. If you talk about school visits, reading blogs, attending receptions, your desire to attend whatever school, your dream school, is going to be that much more believable. You can reference conversations with current students and recent alumni using names with permission. Writing about meaningful personal experiences with details adds to the credibility, the strength of your essay. Again, going back to the kidney heist, well, that is a legend. The fact that I started off with a friend of a friend somehow made it a little closer. In thinking about this presentation this morning, I remembered that just a couple of years ago, actually, my son-in-law was talking to my son-in-law's mother, and we were just chatting. It happened to be around September 11th, probably in 2009, and she mentioned that her daughter had been in the World Trade Center towers at the time of the planes crashing into them. She was one of the people covered with dust who escaped the building, fortunately. But in talking to my son-in-law's mother, she was telling me that there were several hours where they didn't know if their daughter was dead or alive. And the fact that I suddenly was talking to somebody who'd lived through that made it much more credible and much more personal. So again, if you can draw on your personal experiences are more credible than your friend's friend, but the closer you get, the better. And again, you want to provide only enough details to enhance your central message. Emotional. Tap into things, ideas, events, people your reader cares about to encourage them to care about your message. Now, what do people care about? Do they care about large groups? Do they care about causes? Maybe. But again, going back to the example I just gave with my son-in-law's mother, if you look, they care about individuals much more. The story of an individual is going to have far greater impact. Mother Teresa once said, if I look at the mass, I will never act. If I look at the one, I will. So when talking about your community service or volunteer activities, write about the one. Write about the individual you helped, the person you helped with tenant problems in your legal clinic, the patient you read to, the person you tutored, or the house you built for Habitat for Humanity. Whatever it was, talk about the one. You want to make the reader care about what you have done and want to do. Another way to inject emotion, which is something I touched upon earlier, is to draw on already existing emotional associations, but stay away from abuse terms, a.k.a. cliches. So what would be an example? Already I've mentioned September 11th. That's a highly emotional topic with all kinds of associations. But you can also refer to famous people. Bill Gates is certainly admired for his genius, known for his wealth, perhaps a little bit of hubris, and his influence. Los Angeles, where I live, has a reputation for superficiality, great weather, Hollywood fantasy. You can, again, piggyback off some of these emotions to succinctly inject an emotional element into your essays. What would be some abuse terms that I would really warn you to stay away from? Out of the box. Out of the box for creative, for innovative, sometimes for nothing at all. Another one, been there for me, for caring, supportive, or take it to the next level instead of develop, improve, enhance, grow, nurture, or whatever. All these words, which at one time were kind of clever and evocative of the terms I would replace them with, at this point are so abused and overused that they've lost all meaning, and I would encourage you to stay away from them. Now, the last of the HEAST 6 principles is actually what I started the webinar with and also what they started their book with, and that is stories. A credible idea, according to the HEAST, I'm quoting, a credible idea makes people believe, an emotional idea makes people care, the right stories make people act. And you want your readers of your application essays and personal statements and statements of purpose to act by putting your file in the admit pile. Human beings love stories. Shop talk, gossip, human interest stories, legends, parables, even kidney heists. They tell stories constantly. We all tell stories constantly. Stories provide in your application, well, some would say, I wouldn't necessarily agree with this, but some would say that stories provide context for the data found in your transcript, application boxes, and resumes. I would argue that the data provides context for your story. Stories provide the humanity in your applications. When you don't tell stories in your essays, you're essentially hiding yourself instead of introducing yourself. Now, the HEASTs go through different kinds of effective and common plot types in inspirational stories. For example, the wildly popular Chicken Soup books. And they boil them down to three inspirational plot types, what I call the three C's. And you may be wondering, why am I pointing to inspirational stories or motivational whatever? Because, again, you are trying to persuade your readers to act in a particular way. So these plot types are effective tools for you to use. The first of the three C's is the challenged plot. Think David and Goliath, the movie Rocky, when the Mets won the World Series for the first time. What is a challenge plot type? Quote, a protagonist overcomes formidable challenge and succeeds, close quote. So what challenges or obstacles have you overcome, handled, or mastered? And I'm not talking about a pity essay. You don't have to have come from an impoverished background to have faced a challenge. The question is, when have you faced them and handled them? The second kind of plot type is the connection plot type. People, a story about people who develop a connection that bridges a gap, either a racial, class, ethnic, religious, demographic, professional, or otherwise. Think Romeo and Juliet, the Titanic romance, all kinds of examples. Typically, you would find connection essays in community service context or extracurricular activities essays, think team sports, the band, play, drama, troops, that kind of stuff. An excellent example is found in the Finance Professional's Guide to MBA Admissions by Cindy Tokumitsu and myself. The third type of plot is the creativity plot. Someone making a mental breakthrough, solving a long-standing puzzle, or tackling a problem in an innovative way. And this could be some kind of product design story, solution to a problem story, many, many different kinds. Now, the purpose of mentioning these effective plot types is to help you identify the stories you have in your life, again, your experiences, that are most likely to be inspiring and sticky. Choose stories that have these elements for your essays. Now, let's go through and review quickly. What are the made-to-stick principles? And again, the HEIS techniques for success. Simplicity. By that, we mean a core idea that is compact and that drives everything you decide to include in your essay or throw out. Unexpected. Think of a surprise, unexpected, break a pattern, create a knowledge gap, and then engender curiosity. Concreteness, the difference between language and life. Language is abstract, life isn't. Life has specifics. Use details from your experience. Write for one admissions committee member, not for the amorphous, anonymous them. Credibility, use of numbers and statistics. Reference your visits and personal interactions and personal experiences to add to the credibility of your essays. Emotional. Write about the one. Use pre-existing emotional associations. All right, and then stories. Now, the first person to list the three correct plot types will get an Exhib.com ebook. Okay, Lian Zhang, you got it. You got it. Challenge, connections, and creativity. Miriam, can you please make sure that Leanne gets that? Thank you very much. I hope you now have the tools to convey simple, unexpected, concrete, credible, emotional stories. If you could please raise your hands if you believe that you've learned a few tools here today that will help you with your application essays. Okay. Oh, we're getting higher again. All right. Thank you. I'm glad. Most of you found it valuable. If you would like to make your application essays, personal statements, and statements of purpose into memorable essays that stick, I invite you to explore Exhib.com with its many rich resources for graduate applicants. I specifically, and college applicants for that matter, I specifically recommend 5 Fatal Flaws to Avoid in Your Essays, a free series of 5 tips to help you write your application essays. Now, these fatal flaws or errors are like Teflon. They're the opposite of stickiness. They're the opposite of the 6 principles I discussed today. When you commit these errors or when these flaws inhabit your essays, nothing sticks. You can subscribe to the series at www.accepted.com/personalstatementflaws.aspx. And I'm going to leave that slide up there for a moment so that you can copy it down. And Miriam also put it in the, in the chat box for all of you to click on if you want to. But don't click away because I'm going to take questions and answers in a minute. And, of course, if you want help with your application essays, consider Accepted. You can explore our catalog, review our qualifications, and feel free to contact us if you need advising or editing help. Thank you again for coming and for listening. I noticed that most of you were pretty attentive, and I appreciate that. If you would like to post your questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Well, Linda, it looks like we have a whole bunch of nice questions over here. Ganesh actually asked, how do you tackle the reapplicant applications where there's only one essay and the optional essay, and you've already wrote essays, which were pretty good but not amazing?
I'm going to assume this is for MBA. There's two things you can do, Ganesh. One is, if you really feel that that you can improve significantly, you can contact the school and simply say that, ask if you can resubmit all the application essays. If the answer is no, then you want the one reapplication essay to focus on your growth since you last applied, achievements, accomplishments from the past year. If there was some other weakness in your application that you want to address, definitely address it in the reapplicant essay. But the focus of the reapplication should be on material that occurred since you applied that they don't know about.
Well, Linda, here's an interesting one from Jason, which I think that, you know, many of our applicants might feel. He wrote, what if you feel that you don't have a strong personal story? How would you go about making it sound, you know, creative and surprising?
That is an excellent question. I can tell you that after 14 years in this business, that everybody has a story. It may not be your whole life story. It might be a specific experience or a certain pattern of experiences, or it might be a hobby. I can tell you, and this is one of the things that stuck with me from a long time ago, I had an applicant once who was working with me, and he included a short paragraph on a hobby of his in his medical school application essay. And his particular hobby was butterfly watching. And that's not a big crowd pleaser normally. That's not considered exciting or anything. But when he went in for interviews, he was told that was what really caught the reader's eye. So I wouldn't be too afraid about being dull. I would find something that you want to write about that excites you and write about that. That is probably where your personal story is to be found.
Okay, well, thank you, Linda. That was very clarifying. Varun has a question that, you know, I feel we also, a lot of us probably have this issue as well. He wrote, could you shed more light on abused terms and how to better avoid them, citing some examples?
Well, those three are my top three. Another one, if I have to go further down, is leverage ideas. Leverage has a certain meaning in physics, and it's come to mean use. Another really abused term is, it just flew away. It'll come back. How do you avoid them? You simply don't use them. You use the terms that they replaced, if they still have any kind of meaning. Been there for me. Well, what did they actually do? You know, what are they? They are terms that you see everywhere you turn when somebody isn't quite sure what to say. Take it to the next level. You know, what does that really mean? What do you mean specifically by that, speaking of abstractions as opposed to specifics? So when you're using a cliche like that has lost all meaning, dig a little bit deeper into yourself and try and figure out what you're specifically trying to say.
Okay, great. Thank you, Linda. Abina asks, Linda, do you think the six characteristics you've provided become too obvious or transparent if you utilize 4 to 6 in each essay? In most cases, schools have about 3 to 4 essays that you'll have to complete.
No. I think good writing will never become tiresome. Okay. I don't think that there's a surplus of good writing in application essays. These are principles of solid communications. These are the principles that have made certain stories last centuries and others not even, and the ones that don't employ them are the ones that are skimmed or not read or forgotten immediately after being read. These aren't my principles, by the way. These are principles that the Heath came to after studying stories and effective communications, all different kinds. Again, parables, stories, literature, commercials, political messages, all different kinds of communications. And I personally think they did an excellent job. Miriam, are you there?
Okay. Yeah, I'm here. Thanks, Linda. I see Matthew asked, you mentioned the challenge plot and briefly mentioned not making it into a sad or pity story. Do you have any suggestions for us on how to keep the challenge plot in the right direction?
Yes, I think it's a very good question. It becomes a pity essay when you come across as damaged goods at the end of it. If you suffered a setback and come out stronger from the setback, it's a challenge essay and a very positive kind of challenge essay. If you come out and somehow are pitiful, then you have a pity essay, and I don't think that would add to your application.
Okay, that was definitely very clarifying. Leah asks, when talking about personal experiences, how personal is too personal? Like challenges of, you know, being poor during college or having no support or, you know, being abused. Where's the line over here?
Well, that's a question that can be very difficult to answer depending upon, you know, what the situation is. I think I'm hesitating because, unfortunately, after having been in this business for 16 years, I've heard some stories that really were very, very personal. We have had occasionally people approach us where, especially women, young women, where their grades took a real dive after rape. In that case, it would, and we have worked occasionally with young adults who came from abusive homes and had to come back from that experience. So in those cases, in order to explain the grades or the dive in grades, they had to discuss the very painful experience. Obviously, they didn't have to go into details. They just had to provide the information. And then the challenge became showing that, okay, I'm over it. I'm beyond it. I've learned.
Okay, well, thank you, Linda. Amit asks, we've been talking about essays individually. Could you talk a bit about the theme of the entire application?
Obviously, you're talking about an application where you have more than one essay. I look at an application more in the context of peeling an onion and uncovering different layers of personality than branding, okay? I completely agree and support the idea that every essay has to have a theme, but I'm much more like the idea of, in situations where you have multiple essays, having each essay bring out a different facet of your experience and character and personality than just, you know, stamping a brand on you as an individual. Part of the application process is, of course, introducing you, and part of getting to know somebody is getting to know the different facets of that person's personality. So I like the peeling an onion analogy much more than the brand you concept when talking about application essays. So therefore, I don't really like the idea of having, quote-unquote, a unifying theme for the essay, because I think that limits you and tends to make you seem unidimensional or bidimensional as opposed to multidimensional. If there's since you are going to have to choose what to write about, you're going to want to choose those experiences that present the most impressive and comprehensive and distinctive portrait of you through your application. But beyond that, I would go for multidimensionality.
Well, thanks, Linda. It looks like Ardy asked a question that is probably on almost everybody's mind over here. He wrote, after reading thousands of applications, how do the admissions officers decide on which ones are the best? How do they decide which personal experiences is the best possible example or one that's, I guess, going to stick with them, which is the theme of your webinar?
Right. Well, the admissions decisions are based on many different factors. They're not just based on, this is not strictly an essay writing contest, okay? The essays are one part of your application, and that's the part we're dealing with in this webinar. So that's something to keep in mind. That's the how do you know? That's the question. There becomes how do the admissions committee weigh your qualifications? They're going to look at your test scores. They're going to look at your grades. They're going to look at your work experience if you're applying, particularly to business school. They're going to look at your extracurricular activities for all programs. They're going to look at the leadership, and they're going to look at everything: your resume, your transcript, the boxes, you name it. They look at it. The other thing they're looking at, which you have absolutely no control over, is the makeup of their class. They want all schools, undergraduate and graduate, want qualified and diversified classes. So they are going to be weighing up both your qualifications and their needs.
Thanks, Linda. Well, it looks like Andrew asked an interesting question. He wrote, any suggestions on how to use stories on essays that don't at first seem conducive to telling a story? For example, a business school goals essay question.
Oh, I disagree. Business school goals essay questions are great for stories. They usually are, you know, 500 words, sometimes they're 400 words, I realize, but, you know, they usually give you enough room. There is an example on the website of a goals essay which you might want to look at. It starts off with a little story that's a day in the life in the future. But I think goals essays are great for starting with stories. For example, you could start with an influential experience that helped that clarify for you what your goal was and just happens to be a very impressive achievement at the same time. And then discuss how it influenced your goals, why that school best supports your goals. Or, like our example on the website, you could start with a moment of action when you're actually doing what you hope to be doing, whether it's deal making, whether it's funding new ventures, whether it's marketing, whether it's social enterprise, entrepreneurship, whatever it is, you could start with that moment, what you see yourself doing. Very concrete. You know what you're going, where you're going. You have direction. You don't have to say that, but if you start with a concrete, specific, vivid opening of what you see yourself doing, it will say it intrinsically. So I disagree with the premise of your question quite clearly. I think that MBA goals essays are actually great essays to start with a story. And the example is on the website if you want to take a look at it.
Well, thank you, Linda. I actually thought you would disagree with that. So I see Hannah asked a question that was echoed by a few other, actually quite a number of other attendees. She wrote, if your academic record isn't very strong, is that something that should be explained in the essay, or is it better to simply emphasize your other strengths in a compelling way? Other attendees that also have similar questions in terms of how much should they focus on weaknesses such as low GMAT scores or GPAs, things like that, and how much should they focus on
how they should address it. Well, some of that depends on your individual experience, what you're being asked, you know, whether you're what kind of program you're applying to. This is obviously a general webinar, and since that we're focusing on essays and not on particular types of applicants. In general, and also how bad the grades or the test score are, in general, it's harder to address a low test score than low grades, because you can retake tests and raise it if it's not a true reflection of your ability. Grades can be affected by immaturity in the first year or two of college. They can obviously be affected by external circumstances, you know, a death in the family, illness, financial needs, the need to work. All kinds of things can affect your undergraduate GPA. And indeed, if your GPA took a hit for whatever reason and you feel it does not adequately reflect your ability, you can take classes. You can take a post-bac program for med school. You can take accounting statistics, econ for business school to show that you have the quantitative ability, for example. You can take English and writing courses to show that you have English and writing ability if you're verbal score is an issue, or if you're applying to law school and don't have a lot of writing classes under your belt as an undergrad, or again, you had some kind of grade issues there. So, though I think for law school, that's a less effective technique. So there are things you can do with the GPA to just show that your GPA isn't effective. For test scores, the best thing is to just retake the test. In terms of addressing it in the application, I would say succinct, take responsibility, and to the extent possible, provide evidence of why that either GPA or test score is not representative of your ability by showing them other areas of achievement and evidence that you really are much better than that particular metric exhibits.
Well, thank you, Linda. That was very helpful. Here's another question, a theme that's come up a few times. A few of the attendees wanted to know, like, what's the best way to balance, the professional, extracurricular, and personal experiences in your application? If your best stories, like, simply aren't work-related, is it a problem to use mostly personal examples and stories?
That depends a little bit on where you're applying to and your age. If you are, applying straight from college, you probably are not going to have much work experience. It would be perfectly appropriate for you to use non-work-related stories. If you are 3 or 4 years out of college and you've been working for 3 or 4 years, especially if you're applying to business school, then I would suggest a roughly, and this is not cast in concrete, 2-to-1 ratio of professional to non-professional stories.
Let's see. We have a few more interesting questions here. I think we have time for another few questions, Linda.
Sure.
Okay. So let's see. A few of the applicants wrote if, they're international students, so how much practice, would they need before writing the essay, or is there a place where they can see sample essays to get an idea of how to make sure that their essays are on par?
We have sample essays on the website for each category of applicant. We have for college, we have for MBA, med, law, and other grad. So there are definitely lots and lots of sample essays on the website. I think a few of the categories also have a don't write like this essay. So that can also be valuable. Website is www.exhibit.com. I think you can go www.exhibit.com and then click on MBA on the left hand, and then you'll see a link to sample essays. The same for law on the left hand, navigate to your category in the left hand menu and then just look for sample essays. You'll find it quite easily.
Okay. I actually just posted a link for everybody college sample essays. Another question that I see keeps coming up is word limits. So all, application essays have word limits, and there's a lot of things that we're trying to get in there. So how would you work with the word limits? Is it better to go over a little bit, stay under?
Okay. For the MCAS application, there is actually character limits, and it is absolutely rigid. You cannot go over. I mean, anything beyond the character limit will be cut off. So let's just start with that one. For most other applications, you're dealing with word limits. They are not rigid. The schools are not counting, and they're not cutting off. At the same time, they get very good at recognizing what is a typical length essay. So our personal rule of thumb is you want to be within 10% of the word limit. If you're dealing with page limits, I know there's a certain temptation to play with margins and spacing and all that stuff. You can play a little bit, but don't get ridiculous. When you get to be my age, small print is hard to read and irritating. And some of you, the admissions committee members, are my age. So, or maybe they got glasses when younger. You don't want to tick people off either.
That's definitely a good suggestion when you're trying to get them to accept you to their program. Also, another suggestion for applicants, for people who have more questions, is to visit our forums, which I've also just posted.
If you have questions that I haven't addressed here today, please do post them on the forums. That's forums.exhibit.com, and Miriam just posted the link.
I want to thank everybody for attending. Thank you very much, Linda, for this informative webinar. And Again, thank you to everybody for coming. Please remember to provide your feedback when you leave. There's going to be a survey when you leave, and we actually do value it very highly. If you want to review this webinar, it'll be available in about a week on the accepted.com website, and we'll let you all know. We'll be sending out an email letting you know when it's available. So thank you all again, and good luck with your essays.